You may well know that at the end of every year, some of the big dictionaries publish a list of what they call the words of the year. The idea is it's supposed to be a word that sums up the last 12 months. So for example, 2005, there was podcast. 2012, there was hashtag. And 2016, there was Brexit. I wonder, could you guess what some of the words that were chosen for 2020 were? There's pandemic, lockdown, and then there was one word, and it came up over and over again, almost every time you watch the news. Unprecedented. How many times have you heard the word unprecedented over the last 2 years? Well, sadly, you're going to hear it a few more times this morning because we're looking at a book of the Bible that is completely unprecedented, or rather, it describes something completely unprecedented. We see that in chapter 1 and verse 2. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your fathers? And of course, that's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Nothing like this has ever happened before. What is going on here is completely beyond anything that has ever been seen before. And like I say, we're looking this morning at a verse that I've picked to preach on this morning because it's tailor-made, I think, for a start of a new year. But it's also perfect for the time in which we are living. Times that are often described as unprecedented. So we're going to have a look at the context and then shortly this verse. But we're going to see four things this morning. And the first thing we see is ruin. We see ruin. You may not be super familiar with the book of Joel. It's not one of the most read books of the Bible. So what's happening in this book? Well, Joel tells us about two really, really awful natural disasters that have ravaged the country. First of all, there was a drought. And of course, you know how much hunger and thirst get caused by drought. But then secondly, there's the disaster we're thinking about, and that is this enormous, cataclysmic swarm of locusts. And I want you to notice just some of the words that Joel uses to describe the effects of these locusts on the country's economy and the country's food supplies. He tells us that they laid waste. They destroyed. He describes crops for us that are withered. He describes weeping and wailing. This is an absolute disaster. I mean, you think about it. All those crops are being destroyed, so many, many people are going to lose their livelihoods. There are going to be children sitting at kitchen tables and they have no food on their plates. Chapter 1, verse 4 really sums it up for us. What the cutting locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. What the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. It's just wave after wave, isn't it? Wave after wave of destruction. To try and give you an idea of just how much havoc these locusts can cause, I did a few sums before coming here. I was relying on the satellite view of Kalibaki on Google for this, so it might not be super accurate, and I hope I've got my sums right. But I wonder, can any of you guess how many locusts could you fit in here, in the creche, in the foyer, and in the minor hall? Believe it or not, almost 20 million locusts could fit in that space. And in just one day, those locusts can eat the same amount of food as 8,000 or 9,000 people. And locust swarms can be hundreds of miles, not just this space, but hundreds of miles across. Imagine that, these locusts, they're eating your entire livelihood. If you're a farmer, as many of the people would have been, they're eating everything you've spent your life building up. And so I think you can understand why Joel says that this time, it was unlike anything that's ever happened before. It was unprecedented. That brings us to the year 2020 and 2021, doesn't it? I wonder, for some of you, have they been years of panic or of fear? Have they been years of loneliness or bereavement? I wonder, maybe, were some of you actually really, really excited 2 years ago, 1st of January 2020? Do you remember that? Do you remember the plans that you had on the 1st of January 2020? And really, it's been 2 years when your dreams have died. I wonder how many of you could say that the year 2020 and 2021 were years of ruin. And it may well be that there's some of you here, and you haven't actually been hit by the pandemic all that hard. Maybe you haven't caught COVID, nobody you know has been seriously ill. Maybe your job has been such that it's just gone on like normal. It hasn't really affected you all that much. And yet, maybe if you're honest, even still, your life is a bit of a ruin. Maybe for you, things haven't been right for quite some time. Maybe your life isn't an obvious disaster. It looks okay from the outside, but maybe if you're honest with yourself, you're going nowhere. Maybe you're even going backwards. Maybe some of you can read chapter 2, verse 25, and you can totally understand what it's like to have years that have been wasted or devoured or consumed. Well, if that's you this morning, this verse is especially for you. So the first thing we see is ruin. Second thing we see, repentance. We see repentance. Now, we could have read from the book of Deuteronomy this morning. The book of Deuteronomy is all about God speaking with Israel. Israel are his covenant people. And towards the end of Deuteronomy, God tells the people of Israel about the incredible blessings that they will enjoy if they just walk in his ways and stay faithful to him. But also, he tells them about the terrible curses that he will send against them if they turn away. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's a list of curses that are set out, and two of the curses are very interesting for us this morning because they are drought and, I'm sure you can guess, locusts. And that means if you were, say, a Jew living in Joel's day, you would think to yourself, wait a minute, none of this is random. God has told us this is part of his judgment. And so that's why Joel tells the people what he does. Notice he doesn't tell them to hunker down until it's all over. He doesn't tell them to keep their chins up because things will be better soon. No, these people have turned away from God. And so Joel tells them the most pressing thing that they have to do is not to find food. It's not to rebuild what has been destroyed. It's not to think of strategies for getting the locusts to leave. The most pressing thing for God's people is to repent. And notice what that repentance is supposed to look like. Notice verse 12 of chapter 2. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. In other words, this repentance is not supposed to be for show. It's not supposed to be skin deep. It is supposed to be real, and it's supposed to be from the heart. I think that's relevant for us. Surely one of the things that Joel teaches us is that we cannot write off any crisis as being just random. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying you can draw a straight line between, you know, any particular sin and the pandemic that we've been going through. I'm not saying that. But surely it's important that we ask, what is God teaching me in the midst of all of this? And again, I want to be careful. I know that there are Christians and they found the last 2 years really, really difficult. I know that there are Christians who have had their lives turned upside down. And many of those Christians were living really quite faithfully. It's not that there were really obvious sins in their lives. And I'm sure that there's probably people like that gathered here this morning. And so if that's you, if you've been living faithfully and yet your life's been turned upside down, what's the application? Well, surely the lesson is, in the midst of calamity, you need to keep on clinging. You need to maybe even cling even more tightly unto God. You need to look to Him. Verse 13, return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Maybe that's something you need to hear this morning. He's abounding in steadfast love. Maybe some of you, you found that to be your experience in the last 2 years. Maybe you've come to God with your loneliness, or with your fear, or with your uncertainty, and as you've come to Him, you have experienced that steadfast love even more than you did before. Maybe the various lockdowns, or maybe time you've been furloughed perhaps, it's made you sink your roots even more deeply into the wells of Christ's compassion. And maybe as you've done that, you found that those wells go even deeper than you ever realized. Maybe the application for you this morning is just keep on looking to Jesus Christ. Or maybe there's a more painful application. Maybe for some of you, the pain that you've been facing over the last 2 years is nothing to do with a virus, and it's nothing to do with lockdown. Maybe it's everything to do with the direction that you have been walking in your life. Maybe there's some people here and you know perfectly well you're very, very far from God. Your spiritual life is cold. It's listless. Maybe you have been spending quite some time feeding and indulging some secret sin. Maybe there's an idol in your heart. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's just the way you go about your work, but it's an idol. And you have allowed it to captivate your heart, and it has relegated God to the sidelines, and that idol is strangling the spiritual life right out of you. Maybe Satan has been like a dog with a bone. He has been sinking his teeth into your conscience over and over and over again, and you have been tormented. Maybe you would really like to change. Maybe every 1st of January, you resolve you're going to change. You're going to be more Christ-like. You're going to stop doing this and you're going to start doing that, and you just can't because you're stuck in a rut and you can't get out. Maybe you have made so many compromises over the years that there's just no solid ground for you to stand on. Your feet are constantly giving way. I wonder, Are any of you weighed down this morning? Burdened by all the years that you have wasted? You could have spent those years walking in God's ways. You could have spent those years growing in grace. You could have spent those years leading your family in a Christ-like way. You could have spent those years being a really strong witness to those you love the most, but you haven't. You've wasted them. If that's you this morning, you need to repent. You need to come to this God who is gracious and merciful and slow to anger. And you need to hear those three glorious words at the start of verse 12. Yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. It's not too late. We've seen ruin. We've seen repentance. Thirdly, we see restoration. Restoration. And I want us to focus in now on chapter 2 and verse 25. And let me tell you, this is a great verse for the start of a new year. It's a brilliant verse. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter. My great army, which I sent among you. There's great hope in that verse. Great hope in the description even of the locusts. They are a great army. And of course they're a great army because they strip and they tear and they destroy and they ruin the food that thousands and thousands of people could have eaten. But not only are they a great army, God says it is my great army. I am the commander in chief. I give them the order to advance. And I am the one who tells them to get back to the barracks. Don't know if William Wright still has a Rottweiler or not. I'm pretty sure he used to have one. Madness, absolutely madness. They are terrifying, they are scary, they are dangerous, and yet sometimes you come across a Rottweiler like William's, I'm sure, or I'm told anyway, because I haven't gone too near it, and they're really well trained. And the owner says, go, and they go. And the owner says, stay, and they stay. And whatever the owner says, that is what the dog is going to do. Well, every single locust in this storm, millions of them, every single one, is like a well-trained dog. They're all waiting, aren't they, for the command? I haven't even done the most basic research. I don't know if locusts have ears or not, but if they do, they're perked up, aren't they? They're waiting to hear what God says next. And surely, that must have been such an encouragement to God's people. Because if this is God's great army, then they are not at the mercy of the random actions of the swarm. They are at the mercy of the commander in chief. And what has Joel already told these people? The commander is gracious and merciful and slow to anger. And I think that's really encouraging for us to remember. We are in the middle of a crisis as well. But what we need to realize is we are not at the mercy of new viral strains. We're not at the mercy of the speed of the booster rollout. We're not at the mercy of whatever decisions the executive makes in Stormont. And this is hard to hear, and it can be painful to hear, I realize, for those who have been most affected. Every single viral cell. Doesn't matter if it's Delta, Omicron, whatever the next Greek letter is going to be. Every single cell is a soldier in God's great army. And that gives us hope. especially when we see the promise that God gives to us whenever we come to him. Chapter 2, verse 25, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. Now, that verse does not mean that God's going to turn back the clock. Doesn't mean that he's going to make it as if the last 2 years has never happened. But what God is promising to do here is so, so much better. The Hebrew word that Joel uses here for restore or for repay is shalem. Now, that's not a word I expect you to know, but I imagine some of you, many of you perhaps, might know a Hebrew word which is very, very closely related to that. It's the word shalom, maybe the one word in Hebrew that many people know. And those two words are very closely linked. Shalom, if you were translating that into English, you would normally describe it as peace. Peace be with you, that sort of idea. But it's actually a whole lot richer than just being about peace. The word shalom and the word shalem that Joel uses here, they've got the idea of fullness, of completeness, wholeness. And so surely, whenever Joel writes this, he means something more than what maybe some of you are going to do tomorrow with your unwanted gifts, which is to try and take in the receipt and get repaid for whatever they cost. Joel's talking about God doing more than just giving back what people have lost. Joel has in mind the fullness, the completeness, the wholeness that God gives his people. Surely Joel is thinking here of how God takes empty lives, broken lives, and he fills them with love and peace and blessing, the very things that he designed them to enjoy in the first place. And that is the offer that he makes to us in this chapter. If you're a Christian, you're not immune to the latest strain of COVID. And your job is not immune from being lost if there was to be another lockdown. And if you're a Christian, isolation is every bit as hard, it's every bit as much a slog as it is for anybody else. But what you will find is that as you cling to God, you have a blessing and a joy that cannot be snatched away from you, even by 10,000 pandemics. I wonder, have you experienced that? And if you're far from God this morning, well, he makes the same offer to you. No matter how many years you have wasted, you've wasted them with your apathy, with your backsliding, with your sin, with your misguided priorities. No matter how many years you've wasted, God can restore what you have lost. He can fill you. He can energize you. It doesn't matter how old you are now. It doesn't matter how tired you feel now. You can look those years of failure in the eye and you can say that Jesus Christ has triumphed over them. The Lord Jesus says to you this morning, whoever you are, no matter how many years you've wasted, come to me and I will restore you to what you were made to be. We've seen ruin, we've seen restoration, sorry, we've seen ruin, we've seen repentance, we've seen restoration. Fourthly and finally, ruling. We see ruling. And I mean that in terms of God is a judge and he's going to make a ruling. And there is a massive theme in this book that we haven't touched upon this morning yet, and that is the judgment of God. Joel, he wants us to look at this disaster And he wants us to realize that this is just a tiny little taste of what's to come. I want you to notice what Joel says in chapter 2 and verse 31. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And on that day, the judge is going to make his ruling. And for every single person here, there are only two possible outcomes. There's deliverance, and there's disaster. And this ruling is final. Perhaps for some of you here, that should be a massive wake-up call. It's possible that's the case. But let me say to you, if you are a follower of Jesus, then this ruling, this day of judgment, should be a great encouragement. I want you to notice the promises at the end of verse 26. My people shall never again be put to shame. It's remarkable, isn't it? When the day of judgment comes, never again will you have to face a pandemic. Never again will you be burdened by all of your wasted years. Never again will you have to face loneliness or panic or despair or guilt or regret. Never again. Your shame will be gone. And yet that raises a question for us, doesn't it? How can this be the case? How can we, who have turned so far away and wasted so many years, receive blessing instead of curse? Think about that word, restore. I mentioned that it's linked with the word peace. Well, we're told in the Bible that there is a Prince of Peace, aren't we? There is one who brings this fullness and this blessing to his people. And we're told that this Prince of Peace went to the cross. And while he was at the cross, he took all the curses of the covenant upon himself. And he did that so we could receive covenant blessing. And so let me encourage you. Your wasted years can be repaid with blessing. Not just because God has said it here, although that's reason enough to believe it. But we have an even better reason, don't we? Because the Prince of Peace has died so that this can happen. I don't know what 2022 has in store. You never know, it might be another unprecedented year. Maybe for reasons we didn't even see coming. But I do know what God has in store for every single person who comes to Jesus in faith in the year 2022. Unprecedented fullness. Unprecedented blessing. And unprecedented restoration.